Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Well, anyway, hello, Jewel. Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us.
I'll say it looks sunny where you are still, yeah. So I'm wondering what coast you're on.
I'm in the middle.
You're in the middle. Okay.
And we actually did have sunshine today. We had snow the other day. It wasn't like accumulating snow. It was like flurries where you're like, is it snow or what's it doing? But today we got sunshine again. We've been a little spoiled here. We had a long stretch of nice weather. So yeah. Where are you guys at?
We're in New Jersey.
Okay. And we did too. Like normally this is when like the doom and gloom weather typically starts. And like, I think someone calculated it because this is like the age that we're at. We're like the weather. But there was like 53 days of sunshine like in a row. And that never happens.
No. And then it rained yesterday and today. And I'm like miserable right now. The sun set at like 4:30 and it's raining. And I'm like, get me out of here.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't like this early getting, it gets dark so early. I'm just, that throws me for.
I love the memes where it's like, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but like the sun setting at 4:30 is literally ruining my life. And I'm like, no, it's literally ruining my life.
I feel it in my bones.
But yeah, thank you for joining us today. We are here to talk about your newest book that's coming out is it the 28th?
The 26th.
Nope,
that's fine.
I'm like looking at my calendar. I'm like, oh, Tuesday. Okay. which we want to definitely get into because like I said, we were just talking about it and we're obsessed. The book is From Air and it's the first book in the Wildfire series. That's correct, right?
Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect. But before we get into that, we just kind of wanted to like talk to you as like an author and kind of see like, I don't know, like what made you, how did you get started in writing books and what made you, I guess, want to go down that career path?
Yeah. Boredom is what it was. Honestly, I had a nice 10-year career as a dental hygienist. I helped out with the family business for some time. I did some homeschooling when my kids were young, on and off. My youngest was dyslexic. And so I had a retail business for 5 years with my mom. We sold like eco-friendly type stuff. And that was fun. I mean, we didn't make any money, but it was fun. And then I just kind of went through I've always read, but I've read just kind of all over the place. I haven't always just read even romance. And I had a friend, so I was kind of the author that was like on the beginning of people reading 50 Shades. And I had a friend who ironically was like, hey, somebody in my like Bible study group recommended this book, kid you not, Bible study group. And I'm like, oh, I hadn't heard of it. I hadn't read an ebook until I started writing. I didn't know about online blogs. I just got everything from the library or bookstore. So I downloaded 50 Shades and I was like, Bible study, eh?
I would say Bible study.
I'm like, what church do you go to? I know this is my best friend of like since we were in third grade. So anyway, it kind of got me back into I was just binging romance books at that point. Again, yeah. I'm like, oh, this is actually kind of fun. I'd been kind of on a Nicholas Sparks train for years and this is just like the next step or something. So she was actually the one who's like, you should write a book. I'm like, no. And then it was just one day, I don't know what I was doing. I just like opened up a word processor on my computer and I just started writing. And the next thing you know, one story turned into a duet. It was two books to span one story. So I was like over 200,000 words later. Wow. And then I just was like, fake it till you make it. I knew nothing. And so I just started like trying to Google how to market a book and self-publish a book. And the first company that was kind of a large blogger that I worked with, they said, well, do you want to do a tour? And I was like, well, I'm thinking to myself, I didn't say, but I'm like, well, I don't usually like leave home that often because I had, you know, still my youngest. And then I'm like, oh, like later I'm like, let me get back with you. So I'm Googling all of this, like, what is this blog tour? And then I'm like, okay, you don't leave home. Okay, now I'm getting this. So I have stumbled my way 11 years through this. Truly, I am the case of fake it till you make it. I still don't know if I've made it, but I'm like, it's a living at this point. And that's how that it was. There's nothing fantastical about it. It was the most random thing ever. It was probably what I call a little early for a midlife crisis, but definitely now you could call it my midlife crisis. And it's a great one. I love it.
It's a fantastic one. Thank you for stumbling into this. This was terrific.
No, seriously, like your backlog is crazy. Katie and I are going to be honest because you've been on our TBRs, but this is the first one of your books that we have officially read.
Oh, and it's a good one to start with.
No, amazing one to start with. I've had Transcend, I've had downloaded, you know, there's like 1,000 books on my Kindle, a million of them. And now I'm like, oh, now I have to read every single one of her books. Like this was Sunday morning. I have had like so many, like the Naked Fisherman.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, I've had so many of these books downloaded that I'm like, well, what the fuck have I been waiting for?
We've been under a rock. Teresa started the book before I did, and I was flying down to Miami for work, and my husband literally tried to talk to me. I'm like, you need to shut up. I need this Kindle, because he was like, I thought you were going to nap. I have two babies. So I'm like, oh, I'll sleep on the flight. Like, here's all my like catch up that I can do. And he's like, you're like pinned to your Kindle. He's like, do not speak right now to me.
So good. Oh, I love it. I love that.
Yeah, no, I read it in like less than 24 hours. Yeah. I couldn't stop. It was one of those books where like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to read two chapters before bed. And then I'm in bed and I'm like, okay, just one more chapter. And then I'm like, okay, just one more chapter. And then I look and it's like 2 a.m. And I'm like, oh, you need to go to sleep. Like, you need to go to sleep. You'll regret this tomorrow. And I was dreaming about the characters. Like, I was dreaming about wildfires. And like, I'm not even kidding. I woke up and I woke up at 6 a.m. So like 4 hours later, and I just immediately opened my Kindle. Like, I could not stop reading it.
Yeah, same.
That's amazing. I love that. Yeah. Thank you. No, it's been wonderful to see some of the early reviews come out. Because this is my first time dipping my toe into traditional publishing. I didn't ever think I would probably do it just because I liked the indie world. I liked setting my own pace. And so when this opportunity came along, I was a little bit nervous. I wasn't nervous about writing the story. Like, I knew by this point I could write stories, but like just through the whole editing process and also just, I didn't know it was going to hit me so much of how I actually want this publisher to be proud of me and happy that they took a chance on me, because it's just, like I said, I didn't anticipate this, but all of a sudden when like these arcs went out and they went up on NetGalley and the PR company sent them out, it hit me that like, I actually care. I normally don't care so much, but now I want it to do well, and I don't want them to not want to like put out this second book, which at this point the contract signed, they're gonna put this second book out. But it was,
I'll say, thank God, because I need it.
Yeah. Oh good, I'm glad to hear that. But yeah, it was crazy how I just went into this like whatever, that's kind of how I do everything. But I would be lying if I would say that it wasn't kind of on the edge of my seat when these went out, hoping that people liked it. And I don't search for reviews ever, because I actually don't believe reviews are for me. I tell myself that. I like that world I live in. But people, you know, will tag you and stuff. Yeah, people will tag me and stuff. So it was nice, at least the stuff I've been tagged in, that it seems to be doing well. And I have an assistant and people looking after me. They're like, no, it actually is doing well. I'm like, okay, good to know, good to know. So I'm like, okay, Montlake will be like glad we took a chance on her.
I feel like we're just saying, there's, everyone has a TBR, right? Like, who doesn't?
Oh God, yes.
If you're a reader. But I feel like a lot of times, like, we read great books, and if book two comes out, it's like you're not rushing to get to it. It's more of like, I'll get to it when I get to it. The minute book two comes out, if it goes back on, I'm going to be requesting it, because I need it immediately. Like, this was, I'm like obsessed.
Yeah.
Like, you become an author that I'm going to be like, no, should she put another book out? Then my butt's going to be reading this immediately.
I don't want to compare you to, you know, your work is your work. But the way that I felt reading this book was the way that I felt, I think it was like last summer. It might have been longer than that at this point. When I picked up my first like Elizabeth O'Rourke book. And then I was like, oh, I need to read everything she's ever written. that's how I feel now about you. Yeah. So I want to apologize in advance because when I become feral about something, I get really annoying about it. Like I will probably start bothering you in your DMs, or I'll just start tagging you in a bunch of different posts that I'm doing where I'm like, guys.
That's all right. I'm okay with that. I will warn you, if you've read one Julian book, you've read one Julian book, because this is probably why I've been self-published for so long. I'm terrible at writing to market. I'm terrible at branding myself. And I don't regret that at this point in my life. I really have chosen just the craft over anything else. So From Air is different than, I mean, there's similarities in like if you're going to start picking tropes out of stuff, but From Air is very different than anything else I've written. But Everything, I write all over the place. So, I mean, I have my age gap romances too. I have rom-com too. I have ones that are these mind-bending romances about near-death experiences. I have romances about assassins. I mean, I write all over the place because the way some people say they're mood readers, I am a mood writer. So whenever I'm lucky enough, like to find people like yourself who take a chance on something of mine and like it, and then you get excited about I do have a longer backlist. It's like, I'm excited and yet thinking, oh, I hope they're not going to get 30 more books of From Air, because you will not get 30 more books of From Air. You'll get some that you will be like, what the hell?
See, that's the question I like about it. Like, that's amazing. Cause like, we are very big mood readers, and like, I like that, like different stuff, but I also like even in this romance book, like you do have like, I'm sorry, I said like 17 times in a row, my brain is fried on a Friday at 5, but I like that there's heaviness to it too. Right. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't expect that to kind of play into the ending. It was really cool. Like, so even as like a romance writer, like, I don't know. I just feel like it was unique. It was romance, but it was unique. So I'm like excited to see what else you can give us, because but clearly you have the backlog where my mood is in a certain mood, like you have it. So
I do that. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you. I love that. I like when people, I think I get most excited when I have readers who have read kind of a variety of my books, and they've just decided, as I do often, is I usually find authors that I would just say, I like their writing style. Do you have favorites within their catalog of books? Of course, but you click with a certain writing style. Yeah. Because I've also encountered books where I know they're popular books. I know everybody else has loved them, and nothing's wrong with the story. I just don't vibe with how the writer writes. And that's something that and it's not the writer's fault. It's just every writer has that style. Yes. So I get so excited when I have people that are like, I pretty much like anything you write, because I know what they're saying is, I like your writing style. And so I'm like, just, oh, we're a match. Like,
yeah, we're a match. That's what I was going to say. Awesome. Like, just based on your writing style and the way that you've like created these characters, I feel like it doesn't matter what the tropes are, if you're like genre bending a little bit or whatever. I feel like you were just saying, your style of writing, I was obsessed with. And then your ability to create these like complex characters within this like story, and keeping at, like, you know how I said I was dreaming about it after I couldn't put it down, like keeping us like so engrossed in the story has, you know, a lot to do with obviously your writing and like your capability as an author.
Well, thank you.
Like, right from the beginning, like, you were grabbed by the story, right? Like, there was like immediate banter, like you had good dialogue just about the character. Sometimes I feel like when people are trying to explain a character, I'm like, this is too much. Like, okay, like, are we, like, telling everyone from the tops of their heads to the tips of their toes? Like, what are we doing here? But, like, you grabbed me instantly. And it's funny that you say Nicholas Sparks, because I was on a Nicholas Sparks journey a long time ago, too. And, like, who hasn't been, honestly, right? Like, I feel like once you start getting into, like, who, and I know I'm, like, jumping into plot, but once you start kind of finding out what Fitzy's background is, what's happened to his family, and how things like tie in, my mind was like, this is giving Nicholas Sparks. Like, you're now like hitting my emotion. You're sucking me in, and like, you're weaving things to like all interconnect. My first thought was like, I don't know why I went to like the story called The Pact, but that like book has always stood out to me. But I'm like, it literally, I feel like everything just started to like connect. I'm like, this is giving Nicholas Sparks.
Yeah, probably because I have read all, I think, well, I probably haven't read Steve Viz's newer releases, but I read most all of his books for years, even including the, it was a nonfiction one. It was like My Brother and Me or whatever, which was actually incredibly interesting. I'm like, I'm not really going to like this, but I was at the library one day because I have always gotten all of my books from the library. So I'm over there and I'm just grabbing them off of the shelf here. And I'm like, oh, it's another one that's in. And I thought, I'm not going to like this, but it was a really interesting story. So yeah, I mean, I can definitely say that Nicholas Sparks has probably impacted probably my writing style before I even knew I was going to be a writer. And he's an emotional writer, and I'm an emotional writer too, but that's where, I can see that by you.
It's like a little sprinkle, like a sprinkle. Like, not obviously the whole book, but there, I was like, okay, like there's some, because emotional books, I'm a very emotional person. I don't do well with like sadness. So and now with like kids too, like anything about a kid, forget it. I'm a hot mess express. So even just reading about like how his like, it's sad that like his whole family, but I'm like, but his sister, she was a child. It's like, not well.
Yeah, I thought that the whole mystery was, I mean, I was like, his family's definitely all dead. Like, I was like, they're definitely all dead. But then when we met Dwight, I was like, Dwight's his dad. Like, in my head, I was like, and he started the fire that killed the rest of his family. And then, like, it was like another plot twist. And I was like, I did not see that. I didn't see it coming at all.
No, I didn't either.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, because my husband didn't either. He just listened to the audio. And he knew the plot twist because I told him, I discussed these things with him because I don't have a lot of people to bounce ideas off of. I used to have more, but anymore, I'm just like, I need you to just be my sounding board. And I assume he was going to remember stuff, but he didn't. And like the other day, he's now finished the audiobook, but he's like, I did not know about that plot twist. I'm like, you did.
You did.
You knew about it. We discussed it. You knew about the blow up doll. You knew about all the parts because I'll like write something and then I'll make myself laugh because I'm so self entertained. And then I'll have to tell him. He usually doesn't laugh as hard as I do, but I will have tears in my eyes. I am so self entertained. It's pathetic. I can actually cry. I'm laughing so hard. And I don't ever feel like I'm truly laughing at myself. I do feel like there's voices in my head and the universe is giving me all of this. And I just have a good time. Like, look at me. I'm so self-entertained.
I was going to say, you're funny. Because again, this is like a very emotional, heartfelt book. And then the banter between like Jamie and Fitz was so good. So good.
Like, I'm thrilled that you loved it. I loved writing it, so I'm thrilled that you found it funny.
And I loved how they poked the blow-up doll. I lost it. I was like, this is phenomenal. Like, and they just keep going at each other with it. Like, oh, it's so terrific.
And that was the part with going with the publisher. It was funny because I'm like, they're going to take this part out. They're going to say that it's offensive because, you know, they have sensitivity readers for everything now. And I'm like, but that one was like a hard line for me. I had told my publicist, I'm like, or my literary agent, I said, I will fight tooth and nail for this one. I'm like, the doll stays. And she's just like, you work that out with the editor. And I was surprised there wasn't, I had to tone down a little bit of the scene where he's telling about the neighbor. I had to tone it down a little bit, but the bones are still there and it got to stay in. And so I was pretty excited about that. That was like the only thing in the whole book. It's so ridiculous, but I'm like, I don't care. We can change anything, but not the doll.
It really humanizes the relationship though, because it's like this funny, like ongoing inside joke between them. And it, like, obviously it adds some levity to the story, but I think it just humanizes the characters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, because I think about in my own marriage, my husband and I always have inside jokes going. Yes. And we're always, like, referring back to stuff, and people will see us laughing, and we're like, oh, it's just a joke we've got going. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. You're
right. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I was pulling up my annotations, because, like...
I know, there's just so many,
I like how... You and I like that you did too, because obviously kind of going back to what you were saying in the beginning, like you have books like all these different tropes across all these genres. I didn't feel like when I was reading this book that the tropes were the focus, right? I feel like a lot of authors want to make sure they're marketing to these readers. TikTok, Instagram, like it's all huge and everyone wants to know what the tropes are. And I mean, don't get me wrong, like I love to know what I'm getting myself into, but I feel like a lot of times we get hung up on those, right? Like, and that's not why we're reading. We're reading because we want a good story. We want to kind of escape the world for 10 seconds and live in someone else's. It's just, I feel like you really knocked that out of the park. I feel like you could tell this felt real to me. Like this place in Montana, right? No. Yeah. Montana.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like this was real. Like I could go to this town, I'd find these people and this is exactly what would happen. I felt like I was in it. I didn't feel like I was like, oh, here we go. Like, here's this, you know, age gap trope. Like you didn't, they had an age gap, but it wasn't like this, like in your face, like, let me shove this down your throat so you know it's an age gap. And I really enjoyed that. I feel like I was like reading like old school romances before like the trope world blew up and everyone wanted to know about it. And I just loved it so much. I feel like, again, it made me, the minute I started to get into this, I was like, I need to hit your backlog just from that reason alone. Like I felt like I was like truly living in a romance story.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I don't write to tropes. I would say 90% of the time, I don't ever write to tropes in the sense of I write a story and then we search for the tropes for marketing. Probably there's an exception, like my Sunday morning series. I've written book one and book two will come out in January. It's very deliberate, it's set in the 80s. It's very deliberate in the fact that these are age gap romances because it has more of a footloose forbidden romance. It's the forbidden romance for the religion part and there's forbidden romance for the age gap. In that part, like there's a few stories that I would say you can feel the tropes more, but they really, the story is a lot more about those. But I would say most all my other stories, I've had this discussion with authors where Kelsey Kingsley's one of them. One time she messaged me and she's like, I just wrote a book and there are zero tropes. And I'm like, oh, there's got to be something. There's got to be micro tropes now because now there's micro tropes. She's like, I don't think there are. But it hit me that it's so crazy that we are so reliant on these. And again, we all fall prey to like being wooed by these certain tropes. But as an author, that's why I don't write to market well, because not everything is a small town. Not everything is a cowboy. Not everything is forbidden romance. Not everything is age gap, secret pregnancy, all that. Sometimes most of the time I'm just writing a story and I think it's hard to try to overly focus on the tropes with, like I said, a few exceptions. I can't talk. Like my Sunday morning series, when I'm writing that, I feel the age gap. But the age gap is very important, especially like in the second story. The age gap's very important. But I'm kind of like you that I don't want to read a story and feel like the author is trying too hard to fit it into this box that's going to sell neatly to the public because it's got these tropes. So I'm glad you didn't feel that, because on this book, I think we have probably as a trope for marketing somewhere an age gap. I never really even was thinking about Jamie and Fitz with the age gap. I think there's like once or twice in the story that I think he's talking with Will or somebody. It's been a while since I've written this book, to be honest with you, where I think like her age comes up, but it's not, I didn't actually want it to be that big of it. It's not a big deal in the story. It's not like my Sunday morning series where you're dealing parents who are upset about their 18-year-old daughter dating somebody older.
But that makes sense. Like, I feel like the way you're describing the Sunday morning series, like, it makes sense for your book. So if it makes sense for the story and progresses it, cool. Same with this. Like, I think there was definitely a poke fun moment with Will kind of, like, talking about, like, I'm not saying, like, robbing the cradle, but, like, along those lines, I'm kind of talking about how young she is. But also in the sense that, like, Fitzy is still like, hey, you're young and this is what you want to do since you've been homeschooled and you're just getting out. Like, I want you to see the world. I feel like that does – it like, helps the storyline. Like, yes, I'm acknowledging that you're young and this is what you want to do, so do it. But it's not, like, a in-your-face call-out. Like, I need you to hear that this is a –
it wasn't beaten into the ground. Like you said, it was mentioned like once or twice. And I do love, like, to piggyback off what Katie just said, how at the end, even though like they get engaged and they're together, he's like not holding her back from her dream of like being a traveling nurse and seeing, you know, more of the country and being able to have these like life experiences. He's like there kind of to support her and like help her fulfill these dreams and not like be like, okay, now move back to Montana because we're together and like you don't need to travel anymore. You've seen two states.
Yeah. No, that was kind of a big one that I had to be careful to not also play into. There's this group of readers that they think every story has to end with marriage and babies right away. And I have plenty of stories that are going to give you marriage and babies. And I have stories. This is another thing that needs to be unique to every story. Some stories, they just fall into marriage and babies and it feels right. But then there's other ones like this one where we're talking about somebody who's pretty young, still following her dreams. He's just coming into the idea of maybe I can be in a relationship and making this commitment. So it didn't feel natural to end this story in marriage and babies. And so, but also with it being part of a series where there's going to be another book in the series, and then we'll get a story as well, whether it's okay. Not going to be part of the series, but it'll be either a standalone from it with Montlake or I'm going to publish it. And so it's like, you know, that you're going to get tiny bits of these characters in those stories. And then I feel like that's almost more natural because you're going to get a few years later, you're going to find out more about, and I don't try to go heavy either with these being standalone. So like when I wrote From Nowhere, which is the second book, it's like, I wanted to give you some Jamie and Fitz, but I didn't want to replay their story. It's a spoiler to probably anybody reading the second book, even though they're standalones, or it's going to be a spoiler that you're going to know that Jamie and Fitz end up together. But I don't know, if you read romance, you kind of know they're going to end up, you know what I mean?
I'm right. Sorry.
Yeah. It can't be that much of a spoiler, but I don't give away their story. Like, you don't know what they went through. You just kind of know as a reader where they're at or what they're doing now, but I'm not retelling their story because I want somebody to be able to potentially read From Nowhere first and come back and still enjoy From Air without actually knowing how they got to where they're at. So
right.
We'll see. I don't know if I did it well, but we'll find out.
I'm sure you did.
I also liked with like Fitzy too, like you get someone who's again, I love that they're both homeschooled, but like he's way more closed off because of his past. And sorry, Therese, I feel like I'm just like talking. So tell me to shut up when you want me to. But no, so I was like, wow, I haven't shut up. I really like this book. But I really like how in the end, when he lets her go, he lets her travel, which is amazing. But I love like how Therese, we were texting about this because I was like, this is amazing that you did this. But like, I like that you didn't have him have like this like blow up moment of like, you know what, like you left, goodbye, I'm done, right? Like you had him almost like keep working and like trying to better himself. Like he was so communicative with her the whole time. And that's not what I was expecting. I was like, okay, like this is the kind of character he is. This is like, you colored outside the lines and I liked it. Like I liked how he really had such great development, and it wasn't because he ended up being like a stupid dude who was just like, see you later, bye. And then like one of his friends was like, what are you doing? Like, you're an asshole. And then like, he's like chasing after. Like, I know there's a little bit of a chase in the end, but it really made sense. And it wasn't like that, like initial, like, I'm just going to be an asshole, say something kind of screwed up to you, and then you're going to walk away and then I have to come back and apologize.
Yeah.
Like, I really liked how this, like, you could feel that he loved her. Like, I liked that they said that.
And he, like, you can feel, like, him, like, struggling with himself because he's, like, she's having the same struggles, right? Yes. Do I reach out? Do I not reach out? They finally reach out, and they're, like, this is great. And then, you know, but, yeah, I, like, love, like, you can see him kind of resisting the change, but having no choice but to give into the change because of how much he loved Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's with writing it. I kind of felt as I was writing it, these characters that I'm thinking, you know, they care about each other, you know, they love each other, but there are these outside factors. It's not just about some misunderstanding. I mean, there's clearly secrets that come out that neither one of them know about right away, but it's just, she's traveling. She's not going to stay there necessarily for him. He's somebody who never thought he was going to settle down or get married and just has no desire for that until he meets her. And I mean, even like him talking about he's had a vasectomy. He doesn't think he wants children. Like all of these things that I did want it to be a conversation they had and for something for her to think about. And And at the same time, like, knowing I have people in my own life, like relatives who are like, I'm not having children, I've had a vasectomy, and then they reverse a vasectomy. So there's like all these options that you have in this book, but I didn't want it to be easy for them, because I'm always imagining these stories, like in real life, you're like, this wouldn't be easy. This, like, yeah. I think sometimes romance readers get into this hole of thinking that resolution has to be easy. Like, well, there's a misunderstanding, they just need to say, I'm sorry. But it's like, in real life, it's really more complicated than that. And that is like with Jamie and her traveling and Fitz and his job. And I actually love writing characters when they are apart for a little while, because sometimes you can't have clarity in a relationship until you're apart. And that's where I love these moments of giving clarity to Fitz of like, she's not here. Dang, I miss this woman. Like, I miss her. I don't even know if I can make this work, but I know I need to see her. And every mm-hmm. time he sees her, he realizes how much he misses her. And even when they kind of decide they're going to try to make it work, they don't even know how they're going to make it work. And I love that too. Like, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I really do love you, that type of thing. And so I love the slow drip of their story towards the end. It was hard for me writing it. I had the way some people say they don't want a book to end when they're reading it. I didn't want this book to end when I was writing it. Like, I knew where I needed to take it by the end of the story there, but I didn't want to go there because I'm like, it's going to be sad. There's going to be a lot of sadness before I give it the happily ever after. And I was just like reluctantly like, okay, let's do it. Pull the Band-Aid off.
Yeah. I loved like how mature Jamie was too, because again, she was only in her mid-20s, which women are more mature than men in general. We know this. Right. But she still had like a lot of growing to do. She was kind of, you know, we said like homeschooled. She really didn't have a lot of like life experience outside of like Miami. And she was just so like patient and so mature when dealing with Fitz and then with dealing with, you know, Dwight and like that whole situation. She just like showed so much strength and like perseverance for somebody who was, you know, so young, in my opinion. You know, that definitely like showed so much of her character and like made her so much, I don't even want to say relatable, because I feel like if that was me, I would have not handled it that way at that age. But it made her so much more lovable as a character.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. And it felt right for her. That's another thing. It doesn't always feel right to have a 25-year-old have kind of the emotional maturity she showed, but I always look at them as a whole, and she is a nurse who works in a psychiatric unit. And I felt with writing her that she would bring a different level of maturity to the table, just because of working in a field of psychiatric, you know, medicine, where I think she's going to, that's where she kind of made him her cause. Like, that's her passion, and I'm going to figure you out, and I'm going to make you love me. Like, I felt her trying to like figure him out, put together this puzzle that he was, I kind of miss them. It's funny, like, I knew that it's been so long since I read them, even longer than normal with this being a traditionally published book than when I put my own books out, that I knew doing like interviews and stuff going into this release, I was going to really start missing these characters. So as we're talking about it and with my husband listening to the audio, I'm just like, I really miss them. Or I see people putting up graphics with quotes from the book, and I'm like, oh, I forgot about that part. That was so fun to write.
You have some great, like, I'm a reader, like, Teresa highlights a lot more than I do. Like, I'm kind of just like in it and I go, and then like she'll like quote,
yeah, like,
oh, that really is a great quote. But she's a highlighter. But like, even for like myself though, like, I was like wow, I highlighted a lot. Like, you have you're an author, like, I get it, like, I'm gonna say you have a way with words, but you really do have a way with words though, where like they just hit at a different level. You're like, ooh, that was like you're my favorite kind of wrong. And I want to watch, like, some of the things you say, I'm like, wow, like, okay, like, this is good. Like, this is really good.
Thank you. And I will say about that, and this is going to sound so weird, because it's going to make writers sound slightly insane, but I feel it's funny how I recently listened to a book. It's called Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. She wrote Eat, Love, Pray. Anyway, it was really interesting listening to her talk about creativity and how creativity she believes is kind of like floating out around in the universe and you have to be open to it. And it's how two people can have the same idea, but one idea can like come to you. And if you don't grab it, can leave you. And later you realize somebody else wrote something that you were thinking about writing. And so she has this, like, the ideas are out there. And it's interesting because I would not have believed this before I started writing, but the more I write, the more inspired actually I feel I am, where I don't even know like who to give credit to for this, because I will see people post quotes from my books, and sometimes I'll be like, and I won't realize it's a quote from my book. Like, I'll be scrolling, but they'll have it like in some pretty thing. I'll be like, that's really great. And then I'm like, oh my gosh. So then I feel like I can't say that, because that's like my, like a quote from my book. And not like nobody else has probably ever said those words, because I don't think there's an original thought to be had in the world anymore. But it is funny how like you are inspired, like, and mm-hmm. that there's just no other word for it. And it's such a cool feeling to all of these things, when I read back through them, I realize how I was probably, I'd say that writing is a therapy for me. Like, I will never need a therapist because I just write. And that's how I make sense of the world. And I just start, when I look at some of these quotes, I'm like, oh, that was some hard therapy there. Because, and I think it's how my age too, you know, I'm going to be 50 next year. So I'm like, at this point in my life, I've experienced quite a bit where some of the things that come out of my thoughts and reasoning from all my experience should sound good and intelligent and inspirational by this point. They don't all, but occasionally I'm like, no, at this point in my life, a couple things that come out should maybe sound good. Now, my children would not agree. They're like, you don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, it is crazy the number of times I will see a quote and I'm like, did I write that? And also because I'm going through perimenopause right now too, that my mind feels like it's going. Like, oh, that was a good day. I sound like an old lady or something. I'm not that old, but it's like, that was a good day for me. A little bits of crazy.
It's just because I'm postpartum. So.
Oh my gosh. I'm fine.
Oh, dang. Now, have your kids ever read anything you've written, or are they like, that's mom stuff?
I have three boys at that. Oh, so okay. My guy is 16 and he won't have anything to do with it. My other two are adults. My oldest, he went with me to a signing that I went, a publisher was having like some type of book thing over in Israel in Tel Aviv. So I took my oldest with me there, and it was a fabulous trip. And he was going to read one of my books on the plane. I even took pictures of him as though he was reading it. I think he got like a chapter or two into it. And he's more the mystery self-help books. I knew he wasn't going to get far with this romance, so I don't think he finished it. Now, my middle child, his girlfriend, I think has read a couple of my books, but her mom reads my books. So she always stops by the house, almost like I'm the personal library exchange out for her mom. But no,
that's cool.
My mom reads them. My dad listens to them on audio.
Oh, I love that.
Loves listening to them on audio. It's sometimes weird because I know there's more spice in there than probably my dad cares about. And he's had it like, he has a garage that he works out of. Like, this garage is the ultimate garage. Like, you could live in this garage. It's so nice. But he'll, in the summertime, he'll have his garage door up and he'll be like playing it over the speakers. And I'm like, Dad.
Put it down.
Like, the neighbors can hear. But the truth is their neighborhood, because they live close to us, so I can walk over by their house. And everyone in their neighborhood, it's a little bit older age group over there, they're so proud to be like, when is your next book coming out? And some of them do read my books. And so there's like this weird exchange when, I know you guys are young. Have you seen the movie Pretty Woman?
Of course. We're not that young. I'll be 36 in a few weeks.
So I always relate to the movie Pretty Woman, where she shows up like at the polo match and then she finds out that he told his attorney or whatever about her. And she's like, I wish you would have known you would have said that you were going to tell him about me, because then I could have just been prepared and had my clothes, you know, wore my own clothes and all this. I feel that way in my life about like meeting people. Like, are they meeting me just Julie, or are they meeting Julie Ann and they read my books? Like, I want to know like what personality I need to bring. Yeah. So it's always weird when you like come across somebody and you think they're having this conversation with Julie, and they're like, I've read one of your books, and then I'm like,
you're like, hey. Author face, put on the author face. Yeah.
it's like, okay.
That's funny.
You're like, no, that's somebody else. That's my alter ego.
I know.
Like, spin around and come back and be like, hi.
Yeah, like, here I am.
yeah. And then my mind automatically goes to, how spicy was that book? And my books, I think, are spicy, but they don't ever get rated spicy, which is fine. But I'm always laughing, like, if I think it's spicy and my mom says something, I'll be like, you should know that mine's probably only like 2 chili peppers out of 10. So you cannot tell me it's too spicy.
No, it was like the perfect amount of spice. Katie, we're going to say it again. Sorry to our listeners, because I feel like we've had a few people on recently where we've had the same kind of comment, but it's all true. It's not just like to toot your horn or boost your ego. It added to the plot. Like, it wasn't overwhelming where it was like gratuitous smut or spice that was just thrown in. It really built the characters and built the relationship, and it was done. I mean, it was hot.
Yeah.
But it was like done in like a very, I think, like a great way that added to the plot instead of being thrown in just to like check something off. Like, oh, I have to have like a sex scene here. Like, it made so much sense for their characters. Even the spice in general, it made sense for the characters, you know, the experience that they were having together. It didn't feel like, oh, wait, no, like Fitz would never do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It felt just like so perfect for them.
Yeah. Oh, I love hearing that too, because I thought I would probably get more feedback from the editors that I worked with at Montlake. It was funny. One of the editors I worked with, she was so fun, but there was a few areas where like she wanted more descriptions, like where is his hand? It's like in an intimate scene. Where is this? And I want to know where his hand's at or what she's doing. And I think I commented jokingly back to her. I'm like, you're such a dirty girl. That's like my comment back to her. And I'm like, you know where his hand is at. You don't need to hear me say that. I thought I was going to get fired there, but I didn't. She has a great sense of humor too.
No, that's
but I,
so
there's
funny.
There's numerous comments that I'm like, you're such a dirty girl.
It's amazing. That's like, again, we like spice, but I also, some of my favorite authors don't write spice. So it's just, I think if it's there and it adds to the plot, phenomenal. But if I'm not like an erotica girly where like you just pour it out, and I'm probably like, well, where's my plot? Like, I want a story.
Yeah, I say I need spice to make sense for the story, not just only. Like, that's just how I like to read.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. Again, clearly, if I was reading Nicholas Sparks before anything, like, I need the storyline. There's not a single one of my books that I've written that you couldn't take out every scene or have them be fade to black and have it's not going to change the story.
Exactly.
It's not, I mean, and that's where even my first two books, which I call my sex books, because I was just like, I just want to see if I can do this. And I could. even those that are heavy with the sex, I've said, if you took out the sex, it could be one book, but it would be very long book, but there's a solid storyline there. And that's what I need when I read books. Like, I don't want to have so much sex that I forget what the story is about. And I am not judgmental on anybody who likes super spicy books.
Oh, not at all. It's just not for me.
If your form of pornography is the written word, that's cool. Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, that's probably the safest form out there. It's very like, you know, nobody was harmed or injured in the writing of this book. So I am not judgmental on anybody who's like, I need this erotica stuff. I can't write that and not have the storyline. So it's always great when I find readers that like yourselves that are like, I'm okay with some of it being there, but I don't have to have that on every page because I get to the point where I'm just like,
you start skimming.
Yeah.
And it has to make sense. Like you said, yeah. It has to make sense where you have to feel like these are still the characters. And sometimes I do like a good love scene. It's usually one of the first love scenes in a book where you actually feel like there's this grand emotion yeah. going on. Or maybe there are words exchanged during the scene that are important. Or just it's a passionate moment where it's almost like pain and anger go into it. I like those scenes. And I feel like there was kind of that moment. It was a little more of an erotic moment where it was like, I think she's leaned against a door or a glass door or her window. Anyway, so, you know, okay, that scene, I felt that was this, it was a very sensual scene, but it was also like there was pain involved in it. Like, because she knows something that she hasn't told him yet. Like, it's heartbreaking, but you know, they've got this passion. So yeah, that's my frame of mind always is, why are they having this? And what does it give to the story? So,
yeah, because again, like, this is a romance, right? So I need to believe that these two people are in love. So I need to have them also just conversing with each other. Yeah. But then you do get, like, when you see them being intimate and there's this like trust and like, I feel like it just adds to the story and it makes their love more believable. And I think you just did a fantastic job at that.
Oh, thanks. It'll be interesting if you guys read the second book. What do you think of the second book too? Because
we'll be reading it, and we
there's more like some very playful sex scenes that don't actually go the full distance because this is a single dad book. Is the second one. Not that I wrote it as a trope, but it just happens to be that. And so it's really interesting writing the second one, realizing how incredibly different it is from the first one, even the sex scenes. But the sex scenes, again, there's kind of purpose behind all of them, but in such a different purpose. So you guys read that and then discuss amongst yourselves.
Do we know when, I mean, I know this book is technically not out yet, but do we know when the second book, do we have like an approximate date on when we can expect that? I know people are going to ask, so.
It is, isn't this terrible? It's, and I don't even have, I do have some copies of that, some arcs of that. It's March 4th, I believe.
Okay.
Amazing. We don't even have to wait that long. This is,
I was going
to
say, I can do that.
Yeah. March 4th for that. I tell you, like, I've had some people like, oh, that's a long ways away. I'm like, no.
We've waited longer.
Yeah. I mean, there's some, it's already been, they already sent one batch of them out or whatever, offered so many on NetGalley.
Wow.
Which I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, you can't share that this far ahead of time. Nobody's going to be talking about it by then. Like, I've already told my PR company, I'm like, you're going to have to like nudge some people like, hey, did you read this 6 months ago? Can you like share it on social media?
Yeah. I was like, that's crazy. Cause if, you know, the first one hasn't come out yet and they're sharing, I didn't see that on NetGalley. I would have requested it and I probably would have regretted it because I like reading it. I love an arc. Don't get me wrong. But I hate reading it too far in advance because then when it comes out again and everybody who like didn't have the arc is talking about, like, I'm like, now I can finally talk about it. But I'm also like, wait, what happened?
What happened in it? Oh, I'm the same way because I can read a book 1 week and the next week, I'm like, what were the characters' names? Where was that? But that's not even just reading. That's my own books too. Before I got on this call here with you, my husband thought he was going to come in and have a chat with me. And I had my notebook out. I'm like, I'm writing down some of the characters' names in case they ask me. I'm like, I'm taking notes. I'm like, even though I wrote the book, it's been a while. I know like the main characters, but I'm like, what was her friend's name? And then I'm like, oh yeah, it was Melissa.
Melissa.
So bad. I don't know how you guys do this, like keeping track to write reviews or do this podcast.
I was going
to
say, we just had to.
I gotta have notes.
Because we, like, notoriously, if you've ever listened to, and again, our listeners know this, we do not remember any names ever. Like, okay. I'll normally remember the two main characters, obviously. Yeah. Anybody else, I'm like, it's right over my head. So when we do these, I'm always like, I have to write down the character names. Before you got on, we were like, okay, Will, Maren, Melissa, like...
Yep. I mean, me too. So don't even, I mean, and I wrote the book and I'm just like, and even then I was trying to do the whole, what was the, what was the dad's name? So then I was like looking through, I had my physical book copy. I was like literally taking these types of notes because that's where my husband walked in. I'm like, I don't have time. I'm taking notes.
I can't talk right now.
Like I have 3 minutes and I didn't even know I had to download an app.
Oh God, we're like literally all on the same page. Yeah.
110%.
So for Fitz's job, did you have to do research into that? Because, or do you like know somebody that is like this type of firefighter? Because I feel like it's such a, I mean, we're on the East Coast. We had a drought, so there were brush fires.
You had fires.
We did.
Weird.
Yeah. I'll say yeah. We went like 60 something days without rain. So it was a little touch and go. We have rain now, so I think we're good. But it's not something that we really think about here, like these kinds of, you know, fires that, you know, you'll see a lot out west. Did you have to do research or did you kind of know?
I did. I went out to Missoula, Montana, because there is a smoke jumper base out there. I met some people at the smoke jumper base and I took a tour of the base.
Oh, that's so cool.
There were actual fires going on kind of not too far from there. We went up to like Glacier National Park and we saw numerous fires on the way up there. And I also have my assistant who lives in Idaho. Her neighbor used to be a smoke jumper and he used to be a pilot for one of the planes that fly the smoke jumpers, but he works at one of the bases there in Idaho. And so he's like, it's been years since he's done any of that. He's more administrative now. So he put me in touch with, it was actually a female smoke jumper. And we talked on the phone for quite a while. So I had all these questions and all of these notes. And I don't like going so far into detail on something in a book that's a romance book that readers are going to skip pages because I've come across this. I've come across books where I can tell the author did so much research and they're kind of wanting to show off how much they did, but it's more than I need to know for the story. It's kind of like talking about, I don't like you talk about like a head to toe description. I put the bare minimum, like this is kind of what they look like, fill in the blanks on your own. Let's move on with the story. So I had way more information on these smoke jumpers than what I needed. But I just kind of wanted to have a feel for all of it. So I was so glad I did that. It was a lot of fun. Same thing like with the second book coming out. She is a tanker pilot. So she flies one of the planes that drops the retardment stuff on there. Same thing. I found a female on this one too. I found a female tanker pilot and she was so gracious. There's two different times she chatted with me. We were emailing back and forth. Even the psychiatric nurse I had for this book, I researched and I found a guy who actually has a YouTube channel. He is a psychiatric nurse and he talks about his profession, but he wasn't giving me quite the information I wanted. So I finally found like an email from him. He called me. He lives out in Colorado. We chatted about it. I was overprepared for this book, but yet if you read it, I don't think anybody's going to feel like I'm just giving a textbook like too much information. I just wanted to be able, it was more like a day in the life of, like I wanted to know a day in the life of a psych nurse or kind of what their schedule is or some of the diagnosis or some of the medication type situations for later in this book. Same thing with the smoke jumping. I'm like, I just want to know a day in the life of a smoke jumper. Like, what are their hours? You know, like just like silly things like do they shower at home or do they shower at the base? It was like silly things, but they were things like I needed to know. So
like something as simple as like they fix their own gear. Like it makes sense. And I guess you could have just looked that up, but like it is a nice tidbit to like talk about and you played it into the plot well too, where like she's like, oh, like he can sew like that.
They sew. They have like a whole room of sewing machines. It's crazy. They're really good at sewing. So some of that was fun to put in there because, you know, like fixing a button where Will's like, you know, Fitz can fix his own button.
No, I loved it. I was going to say like it felt like you knew what you were talking about. I was like, does she know somebody? Because it wasn't super wordy or info dumpy on like what a smoke jumper was. But you got a good idea and like, I could picture like the state, like where, you know, the station or like where they were, like I can picture everything that was going on. But it wasn't like, it was the perfect amount, honestly.
Oh, good. Yeah. And the smoke jumper was like a no-brainer for me writing that, my first fireman book being a smoke jumper, because I fell in love with skydiving years back. I've only done it twice. I want to do it more. I was going to do it a third time with a friend. We got all geared up, and then that was when we were out near the Grand Canyon, and this, like, if the wind isn't right, they're not going to let you go up. But my husband and I did in Iowa, and then we did it out in Lake Tahoe, and I started becoming like obsessed with watching all of these skydivers, wishing I would have started doing this at a younger age, because I would have loved to, like, been able to do it on my own, not just tandem jumping. So when I found out about the smoke jumper profession, it was like, Oh, this is like, I'm like, of course I'm going to write about a smoke jumper. So yeah, when I went out there and seeing the smoke jumper museum, I mean, everything from like, yeah, the spam, they eat a ton of spam, and they like put Kool-Aid in with their spam, so it's a different color just for like entertainment, to have a different color of spam. And just like some of them, like the whole burrito, some of them will put a burrito down in their pack. It'll be like frozen, and by the time they get to eat it, it's like thawed out, and they have this burrito. But it was just stuff like that that I wasn't going to be able to find online that easily.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had a great time.
I love that. Okay, so From Nowhere is next in the series. Is that the next book of yours that's coming out, or do you have something that's coming out between?
No, I have. So yeah. In January the 23rd, I believe, I have my second book in the Sunday Morning series called The Apple Tree. And then, yeah, the second book in the Wildfire series, From Nowhere, will be March 4th.
Okay, perfect. So we have things to look forward to.
Yes, I don't usually publish books every 3 months like this. But I said, as soon as the first Sunday Morning book came out, I was going to have one of mine, a Montlake, one of mine, Montlake, and then a third of mine. So I was like telling my readers on a video I did, I'm like, you're going to have like nonstop Julie Ann books coming out every 3 months.
You're spoiling everyone.
Yeah, which is not really spoiling them, because these are people that are going to read it in one day.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be like, oh, now I got to wait 3 months. And I'm gonna be like, play your violin. Yeah. Lots of good stuff to come.
Yeah, no, we're so excited. Like, we have a lot to work through at your backlog. But we really appreciate you joining us today. This was like so fun.
Oh, yes, thanks for having me. This was fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. If you ever want to come back on, let us know, because we would love to chat some more.
Anytime. Yeah. You guys go read that second book. We can chat all about that. That's got some funny stuff too. So.
Perfect. Then we'll see you in March.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jewel.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.